Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peake, here with John Wells. Joining us now are Aaron West and Mark Limkula from Epitel. Aaron's the head of marketing, and Mark is the CEO and CTO of this wearable technology company. Now, over 1.5 million people in the U.S. with epilepsy have intractable seizures, which are difficult to manage, a huge financial burden, and if left uncontrolled, can drastically reduce one's quality of life. Epitel's device is called Epilog, and it's used to accurately count both convulsive and non-convulsive types of seizures. We're so glad that Aaron West and Mark Limkula could join us, Aaron, in studio. And Mark, good morning to you, joining us by phone. Welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mark, because you founded this company, and this is a company that started at least in some form at the University of Utah, like so many technology companies do, and then they are brought to market, and an entrepreneur such as yourself turns it into a viable thing that it helps improve the lives of many. So tell us about that history.
Yeah, so we spun out of the University of Utah, and for over the past 30-plus years, new anti-seizure medication first comes through Utah and gets tested there before going on to clinical trials. And that's through a program called the Anticonvulsant Screening Program. And we realized that a big part of living with epilepsy is knowing when you're having seizures. And we realized that most people actually don't know when they have their seizures. Most seizures are, like you said, non-convulsive or subclinical. And what that means is that it's not entirely obvious to the person with epilepsy that they've had a seizure. And, you know, it's clearly not obvious to us as bystanders looking at the person. So it's not the stereotype of someone shaking on the ground. You know, that's considered a convulsive seizure. And most people know when they've had a convulsive seizure. Mm-hmm. But most people don't know when they've had a non-convulsive seizure. And so we thought that we could create a wearable device that could simply record when people are having seizures. And that is the device that we have here called Epilog. And Aaron is wearing Epilog in the studio today. And I don't know, Lynn, maybe you could describe what it looks like.
Okay, well, it looks like about a 3/4-inch square little device that, but you know, it reminds me of just some little bit of technology. It could even be something like a heart rate monitor. But in this case, it's on Aaron's forehead. She is very pertinent to this story because not only is she the head of marketing for your company, she has epilepsy herself. Before we came on air with her smartphone, she showed us her brain's activities, which is just so amazing. So, Aaron, maybe it's time to bring you in to ask you about what it tells you. Basically, what we're seeing in it is an EEG, brain activity, and what is it telling you, or better yet, what is it telling the data center, I suppose?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with epilepsy about just under 7 years ago today. And this device is game-changing for people living with epilepsy. Like Mark mentioned before, a lot of seizures are non-convulsive, and that's the type of seizures that I typically have. They're focal seizures with altered awareness. So when I was diagnosed, I would have loved to have a device like Epilog because it can tell you what's really going on in your brain. It's kind of a window to the brain that tells you, hey, you're having this seizure right now, even if I don't know that they're happening, if I'm sleeping and it's happening then. So it's really helpful, especially for getting anti-epileptic drug levels at the right place, because a lot of these medications can have really intense side effects. So it would have really helped me when I was diagnosed to understand what was going on and get my medication at the right level. But yeah, so Epilog can currently detect seizures. We will eventually be able to alert to when a seizure is happening and let caregivers know that, hey, this person may be having a seizure, maybe check on them. And then, of course, the holy grail of epilepsy is predicting and forecasting when you might have your next seizure so you can plan accordingly your day.
Mark, what percentage of people that have epilepsy have convulsive episodes?
Yeah, it's roughly 30 to 40% of people with epilepsy will have convulsive seizures. But even those with focal seizures can have what's called a breakthrough seizure. And what that means is that, you know, it could be a focal seizure that doesn't manifest in a convulsion, but can break through and become a convulsive seizure. So this is why seizure monitoring is so important. That's so, because like all seizures can become dangerous.
So that would mean that 60 to 70% of people could be walking around with non-convulsive episodes and not know it.
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of seizures, like Aaron said, can occur at night. They can occur during the day. An example of one of these types of seizures is an absence seizure. And they're difficult to diagnose because it oftentimes looks like you're daydreaming. But the person who is daydreaming doesn't know that they've actually checked out in a way. And so they could be having a conversation with you and simply pause during the absence seizure and then come right back to the conversation and not even know that they left. And so it's not obvious to even the person who's having the conversation with them.
And what is the risk to people that have non-convulsive episodes if they have occurrences from time to time, the medical risk?
Well, I think the biggest one is driving. You know, if you're driving along and you have a subclinical seizure that causes you to lose awareness for a short period of time, you know, that can become really dangerous. It could be life-threatening simply by driving.
If you're just joining us, our guests are Mark Limkula and Aaron West. They're from Epitel. It's a Salt Lake City-based wearable technology company. And I guess I keep saying wearable technology because I see this as a field that is growing very rapidly, exponentially. Many of us have wearable technology, whether it's in the form of a heart rate monitor or, gosh, just about anything else, measuring our every activity, whether it's skiing on the mountain and gathering our vertical feet or something like Aaron is wearing right in front of us that is going to be able to predict when the seizures are coming her way. Aaron, maybe you could talk a little bit about the medications that you take and why it's going to be so important. We are living in a world of more and more individualized medicine. So how's that going to help you?
I think that side effects of medications is a big issue for people living with epilepsy. That's one of the top issues that I've had in my experience. It's important to help people get control of their seizures because ultimately that's really what we need. We don't want to be driving and having a seizure or losing awareness for both our safety and others. So I think getting your medication levels at the right place is peace of mind for you as a patient and your quality of life, and also for safety reasons and not hurting yourself and risking the chance of SUDEP, which is sudden unexpected death in epilepsy patients.
Right. And Mark, you are described on your website as a fearless leader, a neural engineer, and creative genius. And I'm buying it. You also are a research assistant professor in the Department of Neurosurgery at the University of Utah School of Medicine. And so your PhD is in what exactly?
No, actually, I got my PhD at the University of Utah in biomedical engineering.
Okay.
And there, my thesis is on how odors are encoded by neurons in the brain. So that's where I got my start. It's kind of a combination of engineering and neuroscience.
Mark, can your wearable device help people with other afflictions like AFib, other electrical problems, or other heart problems?
Not necessarily heart problems, but I do like the analogy of the halter monitor for the brain. So
right.
We are literally changing the way brain health is monitored by taking it out of the hospital and into your home, into your everyday life. So this device could be used for monitoring brain health after a stroke or after traumatic brain injury, concussion, and for sleep disorders as well. And so it has a wide range of applications, but our initial focus is going to be for seizure disorders, because that will have a major impact for people living with epilepsy. And just to describe this a little bit more, Epilogue is this little device that attaches to the scalp with our special sticker that's both sticky and is also conductive. And it's simply recording a single channel of EEG. And classic EEG is you would go to a hospital and get wired up with all these 26 different electrodes. And you'd have to sit in the hospital. And if you're trying to diagnose seizure disorder, you would sit there and wait until you have a seizure. And we are trying to take that seizure monitoring out of the hospital to where you are, when you need it, in your everyday life. And so the little device also has a Bluetooth radio, and it sends the data straight to your smartphone. And when you have a Wi-Fi connection, it'll send the data up to the cloud, and that's where our data analytics live in the cloud, analyzes the data, and then sends you a report back to your phone, whether or not that's on brain health following seizure disorder or following stroke or sleep disorders.
Well, we're pretty impressed with Erin and what she's hooked up and what we're looking at this morning. It's just fascinating. I had a question for either of you that really has nothing to do with your with your product, but I'm just curious about this. This morning I was taking a look, and it said that the World Health Organization stated that this year 50 million people worldwide have epilepsy. Also stated that 80% of those people live in low or middle income countries. Why is that?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with quality of life. In developing countries, there's still, and even in the U.S., there's still a stigma associated with seizures. You know, they think that on an extreme, that someone is possessed if they're having a convulsive seizure. You know, that thinking has largely gone away. But in some countries, that stigma still exists. And I think that the 50 million people is probably underestimated, actually, because a lot of people are misdiagnosed. We just met a gentleman the other day who had been misdiagnosed here in the U.S. for, I believe it was 8 years. Mm-hmm. Before they finally realized that he had epilepsy. I think a lot of the stigma comes from misunderstanding the seizure disorders.
It's the stigma. Does stress play a role in low and middle income countries where your lifestyle may not be as healthy as, say, in this country, and they're under more stress? Does stress play a role at all?
Absolutely. Seizure disorders are not like a cardiac disorder, in that everyone has their own triggers, and sometimes people will have an aura right before they have a seizure, which is in fact a seizure itself. And for a lot of people, stress and sleeplessness can be a trigger for their seizures. And so if you're working a lot and not getting enough sleep, or if you're super stressed out, cramming for an exam, you know, those can all be precipitating factors to having a seizure.
I'm curious about the triggers, and because Erin's sitting here wearing this device, can you tell us, and maybe Mark, you can weigh in as well, the fact that everyone has different triggers is what makes the lack of predictability among epileptic patients so elusive. And so are you finding, Erin, that this is helping you establish a pattern and learning more about your own triggers?
I think this is a great way to do that. When we get to the point where we're forecasting seizures or looking to predict seizures, since there are so many different triggers, and personally mine is stress, what we can have with this app is a questionnaire of how do you feel today? How many hours of sleep did you have today? Those kinds of things, maybe typical triggers that people might have with their seizures. And then we can kind of develop those patterns of maybe this is when you're having seizures. Sometimes you can see with weather cycles that you might have more seizures. So we'll use all of this, all of these surveys and things like that to get a better understanding of when people are having seizures and then forecast when they might be likely.
Right. Interesting. Does it give you a feeling of just a little more security as you go through your day? It must take away that trigger altogether, you know, the stress of when am I going to have a seizure? Is it going to be when I'm driving or when I'm in the bathtub?
Absolutely, yeah. And that thought can really overshadow a lot of people's lives is, mm-hmm. am I going to suddenly lose control of my body right now? So yeah, really this device is kind of a little compact bit of peace of mind. It's like a secret weapon for your epilepsy and getting control of it.
Yeah. Mark, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's precedent for seizure prediction in a study out of Australia where they implanted electrodes directly on the brain and transmitted that data out to a pager-like device. And that pager-like device was running machine learning algorithms on the EEG and determining what your probability of having a seizure is. It had a three-light system. So it had a red light, a yellow light, and a blue light. If you had a high probability of having a seizure that day, it would have a red light. And if you had a low probability, it had a blue light. And for people who this worked really well for, the superstar was able to not take their medication unless they saw that red light. And even for those who the prediction system didn't quite work so well, even if they saw the blue light, it empowered them to go out in public or go to the grocery store and things like that. And so being able to predict when you're going to have a seizure can be very powerful.
AFib is an electrical problem. Seizures are, I believe, electrical, but they're completely different. And I'm curious, AFib can be brought on by sleep apnea, the starting and the stopping many, many times during the evening while you're sleeping of your breathing. Is there any relationship between that and apnea and seizures?
That I am not certain of. We do know that people with epilepsy have a higher chance of sudden death. And that is usually due to a convulsive seizure that occurs at night, which then affects the respiratory system and it ultimately results in cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. And so it is, coming back to the electrical problem, it is an electrical problem. It's an imbalance in your excitatory and inhibitory neuron in the nervous system. You know, it can be brought on by various things. An obvious one could be a damage to the neurons in the brain. So if someone had a traumatic brain injury or other damage to the brain, you know, that could be a trigger point or a focal zone of where that seizure activity occurs. And in some cases, you know, that can be simply removed by surgery, and that's very, very successful, you know, highly invasive, but also, you know, really successful for most people. But in some cases, if these seizures occur over a language center or over motor cortex, for example, you know, that's not an area that you want to remove because then you would no longer be able to have those functions. And so those are candidates, or those people are not good candidates for epilepsy surgery.
Okay. Aaron, we may have some listeners this morning that have epilepsy or have someone in their life that has epilepsy and has never heard of this product before. How can they get more information on the product? And if they wanted to buy it, could they buy it through you or do they go to a distributor? And the final question is, what percentage does insurance typically pay towards this device?
So currently we are actually not on the market. We are in development right now. We have validation studies at three different clinical sites. So currently we wouldn't be able to purchase it. But if you want to follow Epitel and Epilogue and the progress that we're to market that we're going to, you can go to our website, which is epitel.com, or email us at info@epitel.com and just get more information.
Pretty exciting stuff. It's wonderful that you have chosen to stay in the community that you started the company in. And I suppose that, Mark, you would say, like many others, that this is really such a great place, the Salt Lake Valley, is to be when you have a startup tech company.
Absolutely. There's some amazing talent in Utah, and we have an amazing team of people who are dedicated to solving this problem of brain health monitoring and epilepsy and specifically. And, you know, every one of us is into the outdoors and, you know, lives in Utah because we love Utah.
That's right. Hey, just one quick question before we let you go. Perhaps it's because of the radio waves in the studio here, but when Erin was showing us the EEG on her smartphone and we were watching the waves, she said, it's kind of noisy, and which I take to mean there's a lot of activity, maybe some interference. Could you comment on that? We're looking at it right now, and it actually doesn't look so noisy. It looks kind of stable.
Sure. Yeah, we're just now learning, you know, what kind of noise sources are affecting Epilogue. But like your seismic monitor, you know, seizures are a very rare occurrence, and all of our data analytics is based on machine learning, where we know the patterns that we're looking for, and those patterns live in the frequency domain, whereas what you're seeing in the EEG right there is in the temporal domain. So we're seeing the EEG scroll by on the smartphone, and the patterns that we're picking up are embedded in the frequency of that EEG. And so for noise sources, you know, we can determine what is an artifact. So, for example, chewing gum, for example, would be a major artifact that we would definitely pick up and record. So that's something that we could easily reject. Same thing as talking. You know, moving your jaw muscles in general cause EMG artifacts from the muscles themselves. And so there's all kinds of different noise sources that we can pick up, not only electrical noise, like 60 hertz noise from fluorescent light, but also those artifacts from walking around or going for a run, things like that.
Mark Limkula is this co-founder, CEO, and CTO of Epitel, and Erin West is the head of marketing, and she joins us in the studio, Mark, by phone. Thank you to both of you for joining us. Really exciting work that you're doing.
Yep, thank you for having us.
My pleasure.
And stay with us. We'll be back after these.